we find the words, one nation under God. We grew up reciting that. And yet we look at the things happening today, and even with some of the progress that seemed to have been made in the last couple weeks here with the decisions that have come down and some of the things that are happening, and seems like we're maybe trying to return to some sense of decency and morality. It seems like almost 50% of our nation is still opposed to what was once common sense and accepted morals. And one has to wonder who or what is the controlling factor in our nation. We have seen in the past few years same-sex bathrooms where both sexes, and yes, there are only two sexes, regardless of what others might say, where both sexes can use the restroom at the same time, promoted by the doctrine of inclusivity. We've seen marriage defined as two partners rather than a man and a woman. And we've even seen it made legal first in Massachusetts in 2003, and then spread to all 50 states by 2015. We've seen drag shows in public libraries. We've just gone through Pride Month and have seen pride parades in various places. And now we see abortions increasing after the overturning of Roe versus Wade as women use the abortion pill. And you know, the abortion pill is now being considered taken off the market because it has been found to be not only unsafe and dangerous, but also deadly. And we wonder what's going on. People wonder, well, these things are legal, and so if they're legal, it's okay. But just because they're legal doesn't mean they're acceptable to God. You know, Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 tells us, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have separated his face from you so that he will not hear. Sin separates us from God. So some people argue, well, we just need to change the nation's laws. We just need more laws. But the problem is, changing laws doesn't change hearts. And until you change the hearts of people, you can have all the laws you want, and it's not going to make any difference. The problems are going to continue. Let me give you an example. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 12, we read about the northern kingdom of Israel splitting from the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, the northern kingdom of Israel had 19 kings, all of them evil. And the people followed the lead of the kings in rejecting the word of God. Whatever the king said to do, they did. They just went along with it. The Lord sent prophets like Elijah and Elisha and Amos and Hosea to call them back to their senses and return to them, but they refused. And in 722 BC, they were conquered, deported, and scattered by the Assyrians. They lasted as a nation only 219 years after entering the promised land. You realize that when they went into the promised land and took it over, it was only 219 years later that the northern kingdom of Israel was deported, taken out of the land because of their sin and rejection of God. And what about that southern kingdom of Judah? The southern kingdom of Judah also had 19 kings, some good, but mostly bad. And God sent prophets to them, too, to call them back to faithfulness to him, but they refused. And in 606 BC, they were conquered and deported to Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar. They lasted as a nation only 349 years after entering the promised land. Now, why do we say this? Well, do you realize that we as a nation have existed only 249 years right in between those two? We're right in between Israel and Judah. How much longer will God allow our nation to exist if we keep on rejecting him? Keep on doing things that are opposed to his word. What's our nation concerned about today? When you turn on the news, what do you hear? Do you hear, well, we need to get back to God? Do you hear, well, we need to straighten this up? You know, this isn't right. This needs to be done a certain way. What do we hear about in the news? The economy, health care, gun control, foreign relations, civil rights, Diversity and inclusion continues to be forced on us by unelected officials and judges, even though they've been told you can't do that several times by the Supreme Court. They keep on doing it. It's just things that are taking over our nation are not the things that are important. Consider if Jesus comes back today, how many of those things really matter? If he came back today, people aren't going to care about the economy. They aren't going to care about health care or gun control or foreign relations or civil rights or any of those things. All they're going to care about is, are they right with him or not? You see, the Bible reveals what determines the course of a nation. Moses told the people in Leviticus 18, verse 3, you must not do as they do in Egypt, where you used to live. You must not do as they do in the land of Canaan, where I'm bringing you. Do not follow their practices, verse 24. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the nations I'm going to drive out before you became defiled. Verse 30, keep my requirements and do not follow any of the detestable customs that were practiced before you came, and do not defile yourselves with them. I am the Lord your God. You see, when God is sending the people to the promised land, he said, when you get there, you can't be the same people as the ones that are there. You have to be different. You have to be unique. You have to be my chosen people. And just as they were about to enter the promised land, Moses told them in Deuteronomy 12, verse 29, the Lord your God will cut off before you the nations you are about to invade and dispossess. But when you have driven them out and settled in their land, and after they've been destroyed before you, be careful not to be enslaved by inquiring about their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? We will do the same. People want to be like everybody else. They want to be like everybody else in the world instead of being a unique nation, a nation devoted to God. In 2 Kings 16 and verse 3, we find what some of the kings in the nations of Israel and Judah were doing. 2 Kings 16:3, he, King Ahaz, followed the ways of the kings of Israel and even sacrificed his son in the fire, engaging in the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. You see, in the northern kingdom of Israel, they did just like the nations that lived there before, the ones that God had driven out because of their detestable practices. They said, oh, we'll do the same thing. And they were driven out. They were taken away. In 2 Kings 21, verse 2, he, King Manasseh, another evil king, did evil in the sight of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. Same thing. Even when they got a new king, they kept on doing the same thing. Now, what were they encouraging the people to do? What kind of things? Well, they were encouraging to be like the nations around them. You see, the gods that that nation's worshiping, we'll worship them too. You see the gods, you see the way this nation is acting, we'll act that way too. You say, well, we don't do that. No, don't we? What do you hear on the news? What do the politicians say? We need to be more like Europe. We need to do things the way they do things. We need to have one world government. We need to have everybody on the same page. God doesn't say that. He said, I want a unique people who will follow me. No, we celebrate the 4th of July, our independence. Are we really independent? Or are we really tied up with everything going on around us? Things like adultery, idol worship, killing the children, promoting homosexuality, appointing bad judges. You know, all of those things were going on back in Israel and back in Judah. That's what caused them to be driven out. We're told in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They're corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There's no one who does good. And don't we see the same type thing today? Now, in Exodus 20, when God is giving instructions to his people, he said in verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. You see, God is a jealous God. He's not going to tolerate idolatry. We say, well, we don't bow down and worship idols. Well, idolatry can take many forms. We read in Colossians 3 and verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Sometimes we say, well, greed is the idolatry. No, all of those things are idolatry. The whole list is idolatry. Idolatry can take many forms. Anything that gets in the way of worshiping God, anything that takes our attention off of Him and His will, that's idolatry. Well, what's going on in our nation? Do we see things that are taking our attention off God and His will? Have you read or heard about the Satan clubs coming into the schools, promoting after-hours fun times? We see people arrested for silently praying outside abortion clinics or simply handing out Bibles. We see Christians being sued for refusing to violate their belief and make wedding cakes for same-sex couples and not accepting LGBTQ plus however many other things, doctrines that people are trying to promote. Do you remember the Columbine shootings? That was back in 1999. I can't believe it's been that long. But that was the first one that really shocked the nation. Got the attention on school shootings, and since that time there have been several. But this was the first one. The Columbine, Colorado high school shooting massacre. In this very school that it occurred, it was the one where the principal had just removed the Bible from the library. You know, just before that shooting occurred, the principal, and that's the picture of the principal there, he removed the Bible from the school library. Why did he remove it from the school library? Well, they asked him, and he said, because it threatened the children. So where's all this coming from? Where's all this evil coming from? All of this stuff getting into our nation coming from? It seems as though we're heading towards Sodom and Gomorrah. How did we get to this point? How did we get so far off track, and why is it so hard to get back online again? Well, I'll tell you when it started. It started in between the Testaments, in between the Old and New Testament. About the time that the Greeks took over Palestine as part of their world conquest, Alexander the Great is leading the Greeks, and they are taking over the world, and they're conquering things, and they conquer Palestine. Now, Alexander the Great brought the Greek language to the whole world. And we say, oh, that's great because we have the New Testament written in Greek, and so everybody can read the New Testament now. Yes, he brought the Greek language. But unfortunately, he also brought Greek arts, Greek culture, and Greek architecture as well. And the Greek influence took over everything. Not just the language, but everything. And things began to change. Now we say, oh, well, that was back then. Now, that was a long time ago. The Greek stuff isn't influencing us today. Oh, really? Take a look at our buildings in Washington. Remind you of anything? Look very similar. And what else did the Greeks promote? What did their culture promote? Well, the Greeks worshiped the human body. Their heroes were athletes. Who are our heroes? Who do we put up on pedestals? Who do we get to give endorses for this and pay all this money to do this or that? Athletes, just like the Greeks did. The Greeks would take 16-year-olds from their home to the gymnasium to train them. And they would be training in the gymnasium, you know, get the body in shape. Well, that's a thing today. You got to get in shape. Now, they train them. You know, gymnasium comes from the word gymno, and gymno means naked because they trained naked. The Greeks trained in the gymnasium naked. That's how it got the name. and they worshiped individuals. The Greeks put up on a high level, even to the point of gods, their philosophers and leaders and actors and athletes. They worshiped them. They did all they could do to promote their perversions and force them on everyone around them. It was like they had an elite group of people in Greece, and everybody else was down below, and there were these leaders, these special people, the athletes, the philosophers, the actors, who everybody paid attention to. Well, we don't have that today, do we? Nobody pays attention to what actors say. Nobody pays attention to Hollywood. Nobody pays attention to what the athletes say. Greeks still not affecting us, are they? They certainly are. Look at the amount of money spent on sports rather than on God. And is there a system of equal justice in our country? Can we really say that? Or is there a group that can put their thumb on the scale and get what they want, even though they are convicted of doing things wrong or accused of doing things wrong? There's never any penalty for them. They just get away with it. Let someone else try that and see what happens. So what's the solution? How do we fix this? Same answer has always been, turn back to God. In Matthew 22, verse 36, they asked Jesus, "Teacher, what's the greatest command in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." Notice he said, love the Lord with all your mind. It's got to start with the mind. You have to think about the right things. What is it that we're putting into our mind? What is it that we're putting into the minds of us and our children? When you go to the school and you open a textbook, especially a science textbook, what do you find? You find evolution. You find a textbook saying that, oh, you're just an evolved animal. That humans came from non-humans over millions of years. And that you're no more important or valuable than any other creature or insect. That a baby in the womb is not a human being, but just a mass of tissue that looks like a human. And then you go to the school library and what do you find? You find books promoting homosexuality, saying it's normal and it brings happiness. These were all the types of things that the wicked kings in Israel and Judah were promoting. They were encouraging moral decline in the nation. 2 Chronicles 28, verse 19, the Lord humbled Judah because Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had promoted wickedness in Judah and had been most unfaithful to the Lord. You see, whenever a leader or a nation rejects the scriptures and the authority of God and encourages moral decline, God's going to humble the nation. We can't keep on rejecting God. We can't have half of our nation say to God, I don't want you, I don't want to follow your rules, and expect God to keep on blessing us. It makes a decision for us. Who are we going to follow? Who are we going to promote? Well, what's it all based on? You see, the liberals and the radicals are trying to force their belief on the country, and they're following what is called the Humanist Manifesto. There was a Humanist Manifesto number one. Now they've come out with Humanist Manifesto number two. If you want to read the book, which I don't recommend, you can get it in a library. But, that's what they are promoting. And the main thing, the person who started this said, I suggest that we might want to depose this incumbent God and start dealing with the real world. There's no God, he said. We got to deal with real things. And if there's no God, then what are they teaching? What are they trying to promote? Well, that the universe is self-existent, has always been, was not created, there's no God. In other words, everything just goes on like it always has been. God didn't create anything. The universe has always been, always will be. Billions and billions of years. You know, the scientists are actually rejecting the Big Bang now. The latest studies that I've seen have said, that couldn't work. So they're rejecting that, but they won't admit that the only other explanation is that God created it. Our God, who has all knowledge and all power, created the universe. That's the only other explanation. But they won't admit it, so they're looking for something else. Oh, they still promote the Big Bang because they don't have anything else, but, you know, that's, it's sort of, doesn't really work anymore. And yet that's the very opposite of what the scriptures say. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why not just accept what it says? That's what the evidence shows. Another thing the Humanist Manifesto says is man is simply a part of nature and a part of the continuing process of evolution. You know, you're just another animal. You're just like everything else. But the scriptures tell us that we're special. Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals and the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. God made man special and he gave him a special place in creation. He didn't make him just like all the other animals. He put them there. He put us here to rule over them. The Humanist Manifesto also says that there is an organic view of life, which means that there's no body, soul, and spirit. You're just one thing. There's no life after this. When you're dead, you're dead. That's all there is. Sort of like the Sadducees would say in the Old Testament. And yet the Bible confirms that we do have a body, an eternal soul and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to admit that life goes on after this. Another thing the Humanist Manifesto says is that man's religious culture is due to his interaction with the environment. That religion is just a byproduct of evolution. This leads to the worship of and attempts to preserve the earth and our fellow animal species. In other words, God didn't create you. You're just another animal that evolved. So you need to take care of all the other animals that evolved, just like you did. In other words, you need to worship the earth. So you need to worship the trees and the breeze and get down on your knees and worship the flowers and all the other things. And yet, don't we see that happening? And we wonder, where is it coming from? They also say that man's life can only find fulfillment in the here and now. So eat, drink, and be merry, because there's nothing after this life. You know, the Bible tells us that there would be people like that and that God would allow them to think that way because they refuse to accept the truth. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, for this reason God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but delighted in wickedness. If people don't want to believe what God says, if they don't want to accept the Bible, God says, okay, go your own way, but you'll have to bear the consequences of it. But you see, we have a God that doesn't change. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. God doesn't change. He's not this way now and some other way tomorrow. His word is always the same. He always expects the same thing from us. He always demands the same thing from us. But we as a nation seem to have forgotten that sin separates us from God. Proverbs 14, verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin condemns any people. And 1 Peter 4:17, for it is time for the judgment to begin with God's household, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? God's not going to change, and his punishment for those who reject him is not going to change. People say, oh, God is so good, he would never punish anyone. It's not what the Bible says. Not what God says. So what do we have to do? Well, we must turn back to God. We need to realize what's going on. We can't just close our eyes and say, I don't like what's happening, but I don't want to deal with it. We're in a battle between good and evil, and we need to recognize our status before God. It means we have to stand up for what's right. When we see something that's wrong, we have to say, that's wrong. Not going to make you popular, not going to make you in good stead with some people. But we have to do it. We have to stand for God. And before we can stand for God, we have to be in the family of God. Otherwise, we're trying to do it on our own, and we can't do it on our own. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to strengthen us, to give us the courage to do the things we didn't think we could do. Do you have His help in dealing with your life, or are you still trying to deal with everything on your own? Have you obeyed the gospel and had your sins forgiven and gained the helper that was promised? Peter told those who asked what they needed to do to make things right with God, when they asked on the day of Pentecost, he told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." You see, when we obey the gospel, when we have our sins washed away in baptism, we get the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to help us be the kind of people and live the kind of life God wants us to live. Won't you obey Him today as we stand together and sing our invitation song?